This is the Anaheim Ducks postgame show on Ducks Stream, powered by TuneIn.
All right, we're back here postgame show. Steve Carroll, Josh Brewster, and Dan Wood. We're going to talk about, but first of all, go through how it all happened in case you joined us late. We're in here for most of the game. And Dan, kind of an inauspicious type start for the Anaheim Ducks tonight. Just 11 seconds into the game, St. Louis scores a goal, and you're wondering how the rest of the game's going
to
go.
Yeah, that's one way to put it, Steve. I might call it an absolute gut punch because the Ducks, coming off that 6-2 loss to the Blues here on Saturday night, were committed to turning in a better effort tonight, and ultimately they would definitely do that, but things did not start out well. The Blues won the opening faceoff, flipped the puck into the Anaheim zone, took a tough bounce that caused Cam Fowler to mishandle the puck on left wing. Braden Schenn took advantage of that to get the puck in front to Noel Achary, in alone on John Gibson. Achary with a nice deke to put the puck through Gibson. Achary gets his fourth goal of the season. Schenn at the lone assist, and just 11 seconds into the hockey game, the Blues were on top, 1-0.
Boy, on this road trip, we've heard Cam Fowler's name a lot in both ends of the rink. Well, he scored a goal late in the first period to get Anaheim right back at it.
Yeah, he sure did, Steve. Isaac Lindstrom with a nice piece of work here, just kind of moving the puck around the boards to Cam Fowler, whose shot from the top of the left wing faceoff circle might have been headed wide, but it struck off the leg of Blues defenseman Nick Leddy and caromed past goaltender Jordan Binnington. Fowler winds up with his second goal of the season, second in as many games. Lundestrom with the lone assist. That goal at 19:42 of the first period tied the game 1-1, and the opening 20 minutes were really in the Ducks' favor. Anaheim outshot the Blues 15-8, but had just a 1-1 tie to show for it.
And nobody was able to score. Either the Blues or the Ducks in that second period, and really it wasn't until really late in that third period with just a handful of minutes left, just over four, we'll get you the correct time in a moment, when the game was decided, and it was decided on a big shot by defenseman Justin Falk. It's our play of the game. We're under. Go down near the goal line. Bring it back out high. Feed it to Thomas at the point. Closing in. Drop pass. Drive. Kyrou. That's blocked again. Another shot. They score. Oh, does that hurt? Oh, does that hurt? It's a power play goal for the St. Louis Blues off the stick of defenseman Justin Falk. They had tremendous pressure late in the penalty time. St. Louis very persistent, got a good location to fire the puck.
Yeah, this ultimately was the decisive goal, but there were some interesting things that took place in the third period prior to this goal. Among them, the Ducks failing to capitalize on two power play opportunities, and Justin Falk, the goal scorer here, at the other end of the ice, had batted a puck out of the air behind his goaltender, Jordan Binnington, to keep the Ducks from going ahead themselves. And then after Ducks defenseman Dmitry Kulikov was whistled for a tripping penalty against Ivan Barbashev, it was the Blues who were able to take advantage on the power play. Falk shot from the left wing faceoff dot after a nice cross-ice feed from Robert Thomas. Justin Falk gets his fourth goal of the season from Thomas, and Jordan Kyrou at 15:47 of the third period. That stood up as the game-winning goal, although the Blues added an empty netter from Noel Achary, his second goal of the game, fifth of the season, assisted by Pavel Buchnevich. That goal at 19:41, and the Blues beat the Ducks 3-1.
We'll take a break, come back. We'll let Josh Brewster join the conversation and talk about this tough loss against the Blues tonight. It's all ahead on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton & Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com. com to score big. Official personal injury attorneys on the Anaheim Ducks.
Since 1894, Arrowhead brand 100% mountain spring water has been there for you with a natural, crisp taste. Sourced from springs in and west of the Rockies, refreshing our everyday moments. And now, proudly hydrating the Anaheim Ducks. Arrowhead 100% mountain spring water.
The Anaheim Ducks are back on the ice, and this season you can be in the stands to experience it all live.
Terry backhand scores! Troy Terry!
Shop a wide variety of seats for every match from Ticketmaster, the official ticketing partner of the Anaheim Ducks in the NHL, and make sure you don't miss a single moment. And rest assured, if your plans change, Ticketmaster has you covered. You can securely sell your seats to other fans with just a few taps. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/Ducks.
Hey guys, Alexis Downey here from Duck Stream. Make sure to listen to The Beak, where I sit down with General Manager Pat Verbeek to discuss what's happening within the Ducks organization this season. And you'll get to hear more about his life outside of the rink.
All right, we're back here for some final thoughts from all three of us broadcasters, Steve Carroll, Dan Wood, Josh Brewster. Tough loss, Josh. What did you see and what do you think about the effort tonight?
Well, you know, I think that the Ducks have something to build on here, as frustrating as it is. The third period, what can you say? You know, you've got two big opportunities on the power play, and you can't make it happen. It ends up being a backbreaker because St. Louis is able to respond with the power play goal. You played them tough all night. You went to the net. You drove the center lane. You had sticks in lane. You played better defense. Unfortunately, you're still without a win here, and you just have to know that you played so much better than you did the other night. We even outshot the opponent and by one, and it's too bad. I hope the frustration doesn't carry over to the game against the Rangers. They're going to play another quality club on Wednesday. They've just got to have faith that if they show up and play the way they did tonight, good things are going to happen.
Yeah, Josh, you know, what strikes me is the St. Louis Blues, after Saturday night's game, probably didn't even realize that the Anaheim Ducks exist, because the Blues absolutely had their way in that game. That was not the case tonight. The Ducks proved something to themselves and to the Blues that they can be a very competitive team, because the Ducks gave the Blues all they wanted tonight. And ultimately, St. Louis does come up with the victory. Again, it goes back to things we've talked about after games against, Florida and Minnesota and other games where the Ducks were in it and then had it taken away from them in the third period. Same thing tonight. Tie game going to the third, and ultimately the Ducks come out on the short end of the stick. But they certainly were competitive the entire night. They had a much better opportunity in this third period than they did in aforementioned games. So it's a double-edged sword. It's disappointing, and you worry about frustration, and you worry about everything because you're not winning hockey games, and that's really all that matters when you're talking about professional sports. But we have talked, the three of us, about the need to see improvement. And in an 82-game season, I don't care how good a team you are, you're going to have off nights. The Ducks certainly had one of those on Saturday. But they bounced back tonight with a solid effort, and there was a ton of improvement tonight, even sans the results. So in that regard, I think the Ducks can feel good about things. But it's tough, no question, when you keep coming out on the short end of the stick.
All right, Josh, what's your Duck Call show look like tonight?
Well, I'll tell you what, it should be a good one tonight. I can't wait for your calls at 714-940-2888. Give me a call. Let me know what you think of what the Ducks have been doing tonight and then the last few games. And my guest tonight is American hockey legend Jeremy Roenick.
Oh, that should be fun. I'm going to be on a plane. I won't be able to listen. You're going to have to tape it for me so I can hear when I get back.
Steve, go to DuckStream. It's all archived there. Get with it. It's the 21st century. Come on.
Yeah, but does it work on a plane?
It's all free, Steve.
Does it work on a plane?
Yes, it works on a plane. That is my guarantee to you.
All right, well, I'll borrow that and have someone help me get it all set up. Okay. Anyway, hey, we'll see you when we get back into town next
week.
Good
luck, Steve.
All right.
Okay, Steve, sounds good.
He's going to need it.
Quick reminder, tonight's broadcast has been property of the Anaheim Ducks Hockey Club, and we broadcast tonight's game either whole or in part without the express written consent of the Anaheim Ducks. The NHL is strictly prohibited, and Ducks Hockey on the Ducks Hockey Network all season long has been brought to you by UCI Health. We stop at nothing to prevent, treat, and cure cancer. Visit ucihealth.org/stopatnothing. Want to thank our engineer, Mr. Jackson. He's one of the best in the league, does a great job, provides us with everything we need. And, of course, our buddy Cash Hibbler at Skyview in the state of Arizona, also on the technical side. And we can't forget Josh Brewster, Dan Wood. I'm Steve Carroll. Hope you enjoy the broadcast despite the outcome. St. Louis late scores big and defeats the Anaheim Ducks by a score of 3-1. Stay tuned for Duck Calls with Josh Brewster. We're heading home. We'll see you at Honda Center in a couple of days, Wednesday night, when the New York Rangers come to town. Good night from St. Louis, and you've been listening to Anaheim Ducks Hockey on DuckStream, and as you should know by now, powered by TuneIn. Good night, everybody.
A chart-topping banger in the best way to bring good vibes to your day. And on TuneIn's Today's Hits, we've always got our finger on the pulse of what's hot in music. Like the latest tracks from Dua Lipa, Harry Styles, Bad Bunny, and so many more. Soundtrack your day with a full selection, today's hits. So check out TuneIn, the app that lets you hear your world.
If you're a real sports fan, and let's be real, since you're listening to this broadcast, you definitely are, then you have to check out TuneIn. The all-in-one audio platform brings all your favorite sports content together in one place. That's live broadcasts like this one, plus local sports talk. But it's way more than that. If you upgrade to TuneIn Premium, you'll get the best audio sports package available. With live play-by-play of every other NHL game and the top college football games.
The double pass here. Back to Hall. Got a bevy of blockers in front of him. Hall with a house call. Touchdown.
ESPN Radio, completely commercial-free.
That you can still wait and take a wait-and-see approach. But when you're 73-9 and when an argument
plus
is being made,
ad-free music and news just to sweeten the pot. So, are you ready for the ultimate sports audio package? Check out TuneIn Premium now.
You love listening to live hockey, but what happens when you've got to hit the road? Whether you're heading to work, hitting the gym, or anywhere else, you can listen to Ducks content on all your devices with TuneIn. That's the all-in-one audio app. Brings you top hockey, breaking news, your favorite podcasts, and so much more on all the devices you've got. We're talking smartphones, tablets, laptops, smart speakers, and even in-car entertainment systems. That way, your favorite audio and your favorite sports are never out of reach. Give it a shot. Grab TuneIn to take your audio with you.
Call in and join the program. You're listening to Duck Calls with Josh Brewster.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Duck Calls, your Anaheim Ducks postgame show on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. We're taking your calls, Duck fans, at 714-940-2888. That's 714-940-2888 tonight. Blues 3, Ducks 1. It hurts. It hurts, folks. I'll tell you, it hurts when you come out and play so much better than we did a couple of nights ago. So much more responsibility in the defensive zone, more aggression in the defensive zone. We outshot the opponent. We're going direct to the net. Just did not have the finish, and it did not have it with the man advantage tonight. So it's a tough loss against St. Louis club. Nowhere near the level of play as the other night. The Ducks really were heads above where they were. That unfortunate early goal when Cam Fowler coughed it up, he certainly atoned for it. I think he was the best Duck on the ice tonight, scored his his second goal of the season. I just thought he looked tremendous out there. Unfortunately, the early turnover leads to Noel Achari's goal, and so it's 1-0. You're playing from behind, but boy, the Ducks hung in there. They really hung in there. All right, I'm going to go right to the phones. We've got Mike. How you doing tonight, Mike? You're listening to Duck Calls on Duck Stream.
Hey, Josh, it's Mike, a.k.a. Ducks and Pucks. Good to be on the show, man. I just wanted your thoughts on what you thought about the team's chemistry. Fowler talked about it after that first game against St. Louis, kind of, you know, taking ownership of standing up for each other and helping each other out. And then also what you think about, you know, the Ducks not having an official team captain on the ice, if any of those you think are a major or minor part in what's going on so far this season.
Now, you know, I don't think the captain thing, I'll start with the second thing, I don't think the captain thing is that pivotal. I think what's pivotal is whatever conversations are being held in the dressing room and what the leadership group, you know, the Silverberg, Fowler, Henrique, those kind of guys, what are they saying at the right time and whether they're saying something at the right time. Evidently, there was some, you know, messages delivered amongst the team, amongst the players. So tonight they came out with a much better effort. As far as the chemistry on the club goes, I think it's up in the air, quite honestly, Mike. You know, you've got young guys, and you've got some guys who were trying to work in, like Kulikov is new and Klingberg is new, Vetrano and Strom, you know, but you're 19 games in now, and I don't think the chemistry, quite honestly, I don't think it where it needs to be. I think that the consistency of effort has gotten better. I think you're much more likely now to see the Ducks play 60 minutes of hockey. So on that front, I'd say the chemistry is much better. The last five games, and I'm including the 6-2 pasting we took in St. Louis the other night, we've got our shot totals against at 22, 33, 32, 34, and 27. So the last five straight, we've got 35 or less against. And you could not say that for the first 14 games of the season. So, no, I don't think the chemistry is right where it needs to be. Whether it will get there, I don't know. I think that, you know, there's some good things to build on. I think the fact that they consciously took a look at what happened the other night and came back tonight with something better, I think it's significant. But, no, I'd have to say that it's a ways to go on the chemistry front.
Yeah, I agree with you. What do you think as far as, you know, the lineup with them going 12-6 and switching up to 11-6? Do you think that affects it a little bit as well with that chemistry?
You know, No, I don't. I really don't. The only thing I can say to this is there's a wealth of guys in San Diego. Take a look at some of them. Switch things up as need be. You're 5-13-1. Whether it's whether you shorten the bench in the forward ranks a bit, that's fine. This is all about the way they play, Mike. You know this. You do a podcast about the Ducks, and you know this is about their way they're playing. And of late, they're playing much better. I did some counting, if you can trust my arithmetic. My evidence here shows that 30 of the last 49 games this year will be at home. We've played a lot of road games. I think that has a disruptive factor for a fragile club that is struggling to find its way. But, you know, in the end, we're just going to have to, you've got to prove it. You know, you've got to prove that you can turn these things around. It's not enough to say, well, we were better, but we lost. They've just got to turn it around, Mike. And they're going to have to take advantage of some of these home games over Thanksgiving. I think they're going to play some quality clubs in the Rangers and the Kraken and the Senators. But I think those are all winnable games if they bring the kind of game they brought tonight, quite honestly.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they have, you know, they have trended, you know, up. I mean, obviously the little blip here in that first game against St. Louis, but like we were talking about the shot totals and whatnot, I think that they started to, you know, eke it out and kind of go up more in the right direction. And I am curious to see with the schedule, because I felt like the schedule was kind of stacked against them early this season. And as you pointed out, they have a majority of games at home the rest of the way. So I'm hoping that that'll give them a little bit of lift, you know, being back at home ice.
Well, Mike, I'll tell you what, thank you for calling the show, and I guess all I can add to that is I've really had my eye on shot blocks and hits, and I'd like to see the Ducks trend better in that direction. Now, tonight, credit the other night I came on the air and I said, look, you had two forwards with shot blocks in a 6-2 loss. Now, tonight you lose. Again, I'm not selling silver linings, but I'm going to tell you, you got five forwards with shot blocks tonight. It does matter. And if you're playing a little more sandpaper, you see guys mixing it up a little bit more, standing up for each other a little bit more. These are good signs. Now, again, at 5-13-1, I don't think the paying public wants me to say things are rosy, but there are things that have gotten better. Now, as far as this the quality of play goes, and whether we have 11-7 forwards in defense, or what we do, or what we have, aggression. That's the word of the week. I've got to see it in the defensive zone. I saw it tonight. I thought we made things much tougher on the St. Louis Blues tonight. And in the offensive zone, you've got to have it there too. That we were better at winning pucks tonight, better battling along the wall. You can't lose that in the next 60 minutes you play against the New York Rangers on Wednesday. You can't lose that. You've got to take that to the next game. And that really is the challenge now, I think, for the Ducks, is to show that they're not going to be psyched out by adversity. You know, this was a game that, honestly, I thought they were going to get a late goal here. I really did. And Isaac Lundstrom, if it wasn't for Justin Falk, another good move by Doug Armstrong, by the way, if it wasn't for Justin Falk swatting that puck away, he gets one. You know, Troy Terry came close. They've just got to believe that if they're in these games, as late as they are in these games, that things are going to start to go their way. All right, let's take a break here on Duck Calls, and I'm going to tee up my guest, Mr. Jeremy Roenick, coming up right after this break here on Duck Calls. You give me a call, 714-940-2888. But first, I'm going to start with Jeremy Roenick. We're going to talk Ducks, NHL, with an NHL legend. I'll be right back.
On the ice or in the boardroom, winning depends on teamwork and strategy. PDF Tron provides businesses worldwide with tools to process digital documents by increasing efficiency and reducing time spent and money wasted. PDF Tron is changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. Stop sitting in the penalty box filled with paper documents and get out on the ice with high-powered digital document processing. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go, Ducks!
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton and Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com to score big. Official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks.
Ducks fans, no one has time for auto repairs. Let Olive.com play defense. Ditch the robocallers and score big on auto repair savings with Olive.com. Trust Olive.com and pass the puck on auto repair bills. Breakdowns are 50 times more likely than accidents. If you have a car, cover it, all of it. Olive.com, an official partner of the Anaheim Ducks.
Welcome back to Duck Calls on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. There is nothing quite like seeing a Ducks game live at Honda Center. Let the Ducks make your experience even better by covering your ticket fees. Take advantage of paying no ticket fees throughout November at anaheimducks.com/no fees. All right. My guest tonight is one of the great players of his generation and one of the greatest American-born players of all time. Jeremy Roenick played 1,363 games in the National Hockey League, compiling 1,216 points, including 513 goals, and he has always been a great guest on Duck Calls. Jeremy, how you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Well, we're doing. You know, JR, we're a little up and down here. Tonight,
I can imagine.
Yeah. Well, you know,
JR, I had to ask it. I know where you guys are in the standings. I know what it's like every single night watching hockey games in frustration. But still, I had to ask how you're doing.
Well, I'm doing all right, but you know, it's look, it's I'm not here to sell silver linings. We're going to have an honest appraisal of all this, but tonight, a little frustrating for the Ducks because they put in, I thought, a good effort. I thought they were more aggressive in the defensive zone. I thought they were played a little smarter game in the offensive zone, but it's another night that ends in frustration with a late goal. So why don't you just tell me what you you saw tonight out of the Ducks?
Well, I think it's a desperation team that is trying to find answers right now, and it's kind of difficult when you have a young team, and especially tonight, you're playing against a team that's one of the hottest teams in the National Hockey League, and St. Louis is playing great hockey. They're extremely well coached, especially defensively. So when you're trying to get out of a funk or at least find something that's going to get you going, kind of a bad opponent to be going against tonight against St. Louis because they are just on a roll right now. They're frustrating to play against. And again, they have been one of the hottest teams in the league. So they did play well, but still, again, it's you can tell that the Ducks have a long way to go to, until they become competitive.
JR, have you, I'd have to look more closely at each and every year that you played, but have you ever played on a club that was in a position of integrating a lot of new guys and a club that's in the midst of a rebuild? Have you ever been on a club in that position similar to what the Ducks are going through?
I can't say that I've been on a team like this in terms of a rebuild, but it is I know it's very difficult, and nobody wants to be a part of a rebuild. I don't care who you are, whether you're, you know, a Wayne Gretzky or if you're a Trevor Zegras. It doesn't matter. It's very frustrating to have to go through. You're trying to see who your leaders are. You're trying to see who is the people that you're going to build around. You're trying to put in pieces of the puzzle. You know, the coaching system. The coaching staff, it's really a difficult thing, and it takes a while. You know, listen, I've enjoyed watching the Ducks for a lot of years. They just got rid of their longest standing captain and Getzlaff, and you know, they're trying to find an identity. It's not easy to do.
So, well, let's talk. Well, since we're talking identity, let's dial it all the way back to a guy who you were very familiar with, having played as long as you did in the NHL and as long as Pat Verbeek did in the NHL. So Pat Verbeek comes in last season as our new GM. Why don't you reflect on Pat as a player and what you think the future would hold having that guy as your GM?
Well, Pat is all heart and soul. Listen, when he played with the Devils, he was a very difficult player to play against because he was tenacious. And when you play against a guy like that, that's tenacious, he has the ability to push you out of games. Now, he wasn't the biggest of guys, but when he played against you, he let you know that he was not going to back down, that he was always going to come, and he was talented. I think that's the way that your team has to play. In the National Hockey League today, if you don't have all the pieces, you don't have the big superstar, You have to be tenacious as a team, not just one or two guys as a team. So, you know, I think Pat Verbeek knows how to win. There's no question. He was a guy that, that was a good leader. But you have to find a way to – everybody has to play the way that a Pat Verbeek played when you don't have the big superstars leading the way. You have a lot of good players, but – you know, Troy Terry is a very good player. Trevor Zegras is a very good player. You have a good goaltender who's struggling right now. But, you know, you have to – Pat Verbeek knows what it takes to win. Whether they can get that done or not, I don't know. It could be still a couple years. But I'm hoping for him. Listen, I live right down the road from Anaheim, and it'd be nice to have a couple winning California teams, trust me.
For sure. Well, listen, you mentioned a guy I wanted to talk to you about. We have two American players here that I thought you could offer up some opinions on. One is Troy Terry, who you just mentioned, and the other one, of course, Trevor Zegras, who has authored a couple of Michigan-style goals. I wonder if you ever wish you had uncorked one of those Michigan goals. So why don't you tell me what you think about Trevor Zegras and Troy Terry? I think the Ducks have a combo there that, you know, they may remember one day the way they remember some of the bigger names that have played here. But let's talk about our two American boys, Zegras and Terry there.
Well, they are very, very good players. And I think they have the ability to be stars in the game. There's no question. I mean, some might call them stars now. I think they're still a little bit young to be calling them stars, and they don't get the attention that the star players get. But when you talk about creativeness, exciting players, I mean, what Trevor Zegras has been able to do in the game for the first couple of years, bring in a very creative mentality. I mean, kids watch this kid and try to emulate him. And, you know, and to answer your question, I wish I had enough talent to do, you know, the Michigan State goal, the, you know, the lacrosse around the net. I didn't have that kind of talent. These guys have that creative mind. Troy Terry is an extremely good goal scorer. He has a knack for the net. Obviously, we see what he can do on breakaways. He's very creative. You know, they could be two good guys to build around. I don't know, you know, Troy Terry, I don't know the size, if he's able to be that superstar in terms of being the size and the power that he needs, whether Trevor has the speed to be able to be that superstar, but they are certainly amazing players and a lot of fun to watch. Are they the two guys to build around? I think it's a 50-50 for me. They're great players though. Don't get me wrong. I really enjoy watching both of them.
Well, let's talk about one more American player who did pretty well tonight. And I think the last few seasons in Anaheim, quite honestly, JR, have weighed heavily on our top defenseman Cam Fowler, and I've often thought that, you know, if the Ducks had continued their trajectory back in the, you know, the Kessler, Perry and Getzlaf days, and they're scoring at a good clip and playing deep into the playoffs, I think things would be a little different for Cam Fowler and how he's perceived. But, and I'm going to sound like a homer saying this, but I really think Cam Fowler is an underrated player. I really do. And I think he's able to do so many things on the ice and skate so well and make plays. And I just wanted to get your reflection on Cam Fowler. He's been drafted in 2010. He's been around a long time. And what are your thoughts on him at this point in his career?
I think if anybody disagreed with what you just said about Cam Fowler, then they don't know hockey. That's my opinion. Because I truly agree with you. I think Cam is a very, very smart defenseman. You can put him in every situation. He's a good guy in the locker room from what I hear. But he doesn't get the attention. And I think he doesn't get the attention because of where he's played, and he hasn't played on a very successful team for many years. But if he was playing in New York Rangers or Chicago Blackhawks or Toronto Maple Leafs, Cam Fowler would be talked about more as a dynamic defenseman, a very, very valuable defenseman. So I totally agree with you. I really like the way he plays the game.
All right, JR, let's bop around the NHL a little bit, talk about a few things that are going on, and get your thoughts on some of these things. First of all, Shane Wright, the Seattle number 4 pick overall, was sent to the AHL. They're trying to keep him around the Seattle organization for the whole year. He's going to go to Coachella Valley for an AHL conditioning loan. But, you know, it's interesting. I really think that this story with Shane Wright, I think it says more about the young age that the NHL drafts, which is 18, than it does about the player himself. I don't think spending time in the AHL is to anyone's detriment. I don't care how high a pick you are. And I just think when I look at this, I'm always reminded of, you know, the NFL drafting at 21 or 22. The guy, he's already, you know, he's full grown. He goes in, he starts maybe for your team. But the NHL is different. You look at how long it took Troy Terry to really start to produce, get the results. Took a couple few seasons. And I take a look at Shane Wright, and I hope he's not feeling too much pressure, because I think what's happening to him and not being quite ready for the NHL, I think it says more about the age we draft. But you would know more about this than I do.
Well, I've always been a believer that they should move the draft to 19, especially in today's game where it's so fast, it's so high paced, the money is so big. It's a big boy sport right now, and if you see what's happening in college, there are a lot of players right now that are going to USHL, and the guys are staying in juniors longer, and college kids are starting to play college at 19, 20, not so much 18 anymore. I mean, this is a very difficult league, and very, very few players can come in at 18 and handle a very, very difficult schedule, a very difficult sport, and the pressure that comes along with it. I think, moving that draft to 19, allowing them an extra year of progression wouldn't be a bad thing, especially when you have all these, there's a lot of money going around in this game, and you have to be sure about players and give them an extra year to develop and the next year to watch to see how that next year in a higher level before they get to National Hockey League would be important. And I totally agree with you. It's a tough call, but I still think 18 is a really tough age to start to be a professional anything, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. I, when I think of me at 18, I shudder to think of it. But all right, now
when I was 18, I literally came into the locker room at 150 pounds, and I ran into Al Secord, who was 235 pounds, with no hair on his head, no teeth, cuts all over his face. He had more hair on his chest than I had my entire body. He should have looked like he should have been in Alcatraz, let alone being on a hockey team. And I was scared to death.
Yeah, it's the little things, huh, JR? It's the little moments as you try to make it in the NHL.
Yeah, exactly. Scary.
All right. Well, Jeremy Roenick was selected eighth overall in the 1988 NHL entry draft by the Chicago Blackhawks. So, JR, I wanted to ask you, out of the Blackhawks, Coyotes, Flyers, Kings, and Sharks, Can you identify the coach that had the greatest impact on you during your career?
Well, I had great coaches, but Mike Keenan had the most impact because he scared me into playing the type of game that I played in the physical game. I don't know if you heard about the story, my second preseason game in 1988, just about 2 weeks after the story I just told you about Al Secord. I'm playing against Minnesota North Stars in Kalamazoo in a preseason game, and Mike Keenan ripped me off the bench by my neck with his hands around my neck, literally screaming in my face with spit coming in my face and saying, if you swing by another check, you'll never play a game for me or in this National Hockey League as long as I'm the coach here. And obviously there are a lot of expletives involved in that conversation. But it scared me to death. And at 155 pounds, I started slinging myself all over the place and playing a physical style of game. And that kind of, I realized that, hey, I can hit because of my speed and the people liked it. And I can score goals and I can make plays and I can be like the triple threat. And it became part of my everyday being, my persona. And Mike Keenan scared me into doing that. That was how it was back then. I didn't get along with Ken Hitchcock very well, but he was one of the smartest coaches I've ever had. Those are the guys that you take away their brains of the game, and sometimes, their toughness, and it makes you a better player. Those are the two coaches that really come to my mind.
Yeah, I'm not surprised you mentioned Mike Keenan. I'm sure a lot of those early lessons are imprinted pretty good on your soul there. Let's turn our attention to some goings on in the National Hockey League. There's a couple games tonight that I think of our particular interest. I'll start with the one that's already done. And that's the Bruins are going to come up again on this show. They're 17-2. They beat the Lightning in Tampa tonight 5-3. You're talking five different scorers, many of the big names, Pasternak, Marchand, Coyle, Foligno, and Krejci for the Bruins. So, JR, here we are. They're looking, it's 19 games in for them. But if they came out of the starting gate like a freight train, and the Bruins really haven't looked back. What is your take on the Bruins? Let's talk about the Bruins and the Lightning, since the Lightning were a Cup finalist, of course.
So I'm going to go with the Bruins. The Bruins are very, very well coached. They're well coached with Cassidy, and they're well coached with Montgomery. But what I will say why the Bruins are so good is because their leadership is second to none. When you have a Patrice Bergeron who epitomizes the class, the professionalism, the talent, and the day-to-day hard work, bring the lunch pail and the boots to work. And you have a guy like Brad Marchand who's been a kind of a controversial player, but when you watch him, he's one of the most dynamic players in the National Hockey League and plays at a consistent level every single day. And I think that comes from when Chara was there. I think his influence is still there. Charlie McAvoy is, again, another good, solid guy on the back end. I think their leadership drags the young players into the game to play it the proper way. And everybody plays it the right way from line one down to line four, and they play a 200-foot game. And that's a hard team to play against. Obviously, when you have the talent like Pastrnak, who is going to, he's going to push for that Rocket Richard trophy this year. He's scoring goals left and right. You have a Krejci back on the team. What everybody loved Krejci. They did not like him gone last year. So that was a big downer for them. They're a class team. They're an original six team. They know they have to play with a lot of history behind them, and they do that night in, night out. They are very consistent. They are ready when the puck is dropped every single night, unlike the Edmonton Oilers, unlike the Washington Capitals, unlike the Tampa Bay Lightning right now, who have played the most games in the National Hockey League over the last 4 years, and that gets very hard to do year after year. But, Tampa knows how to get there. Tampa doesn't have to worry so much as other teams. They have to survive to get to the playoffs, and then anything happens. So right now, I could see Tampa being very bored on a regular season game in November rather than these other teams that are just fighting just to get on a streak right now.
Interesting. Let's talk about the Colorado Avalanche facing off against the Dallas Stars tonight. Right now, it's in overtime. It's 2-2. That's the latest that I've got. Jason Robertson scored tonight, which means that he has a 13-game point streak on his own. And I'll also mention that Mitch Marner matched his career-high 13-game point streak tonight against the Islanders. But speaking of Colorado and Dallas, Colorado's got a couple key injuries, JR, but this is a well-deserving Stanley Cup champion. And as far as the Dallas Stars go, it's a new coach, and, they're playing a little bit different brand of hockey right now. And, they've got some new faces like Robertson, who's been around for just a little while. But there's a bit of a change in Dallas. So let's talk about the Colorado Avalanche and the Dallas Stars.
Well, I think Colorado's the best-built team in the league right now. I was actually with Joe Sakic today, playing golf with Joe Sakic today and talking about his team and how he's built it. And it's so funny listening to him. He used to be so worried and nervous going into games, and now he goes to games feeling so confident. He's like, when you have a Rantanen, you have a MacKinnon, you have a back end as strong as them, and you have a team that can play any style of game. I mean, they won the Stanley Cup last year, but I think it was maybe 2 years later than anybody thought that they would. They are a very well coached team. Bednar is a very smart and I think disciplinary coach that knows when to kick somebody in the butt and knows when to pat them on the back. That's very important when you have when you're coaching a team full of stars. They are the real deal. There's no question. And even losing a player like Kadri last year, who had a big year last year, was a big part of their team, but they're still chugging away. They have probably one of the best defensemen that I've seen in maybe since Paul Coffey, if I can, Ray Bourque, this kid is just, he's one of the most unbelievable players that I've ever, ever seen as a defenseman. And Dallas is, they have talent, but Dallas has to decide what kind of team they want to play. Last year, you didn't know what kind of team was going to show up. This year, they're playing more consistent. Joe Pavelski seems to be the model of consistency. Robertson has been a goal scorer and is, you know, probably should have won the Rookie of the Year last year, but, you know, got I think, upset with that. But, you know, they are actually also well coached, but they are playing more consistent this year too. It's going to be weird to see who takes over that, because Sagan's kind of falling off the map. Jamie Benn's playing really well right now. That's a good team. Dallas is a good team, but you watch, because if they let their guard down, they're going to lose games in bushelfuls, because that's a team that can't afford to not be prepared for games, because defensively they could be in trouble.
All right, Jared, just a couple of quick things before I let you go, and I really appreciate you taking the time on Duck Calls tonight. Just a couple of quick things. First of all, I got to ask you, now you're going to know you're talking to a guy who's just a couple of years older than you, okay? I'm going to go way back to watching hockey in the very early 70s, so I'm going to have to ask you, because it brings a tear to my eye, why are there ads on jerseys, JR? I don't want this league to end up looking like one of the European leagues. European leagues have some really cool logos, but you'd never know it because they look like the New Jersey Turnpike. JR, I can't handle it. I'm having half a heart attack when I see the Blues come out and they've got an ad, and this one's got an ad. I'm volunteering to fly to any NHL city, and I will personally rip all the ads off the jerseys. That's my take, JR. What do you think? What do you think, JR?
Well, listen, I'm like you. I don't want this to look like European hockey, even though European hockey is a great alternative to the National Hockey League. But you got to look at it this way, okay? Number one, the general managers have put everybody in a situation by signing all these players to monstrosities of contracts. You have 25 goal scorers now that are making $8 million. You have the highest paid player making 12, 13, 14 million. And you're just coming out of 2 years of a pandemic where the National Hockey League shut their seasons down and shut the fans out of coming to an arena because of a pandemic. And how many millions and millions and billions of dollars were lost due to that unfortunate situation? Now, granted, you can make the decision that they made the right decision, or your opinions whether they made the right decision to shut everything down. The fact of the matter is the National Hockey League is $3.5-4 billion in the hole because of that situation. And they need to make money as any way that they can possible to pay these players. So do I agree with it? No, but I understand why they're doing it and taking full advantage of anything that they can do to do it, even if it means wearing stuff on their jerseys. So I'm not a big fan, but I understand why they're doing it.
All right, lastly, okay, I'm going to give you another easy one, JR, before I let you go. Lastly, you spent many years playing for the Coyotes and living in Arizona, and I'm a real big fan of Shane Doan and that franchise. I hate that things have been as tough for them over the years as they've been, but now they're in a building of on a temporary basis, I guess maybe 3 years, maybe four, of 5,000 seats or just slightly under. I don't think it looks that bad on television because you really only see the lower bowl on television. The sound is not quite the same. But what did you think of this move? Because it's a surprising move, but somewhere in the numbers it must be justified, otherwise they wouldn't do it. So what do you think about what's going on in your old stomping ground there in Arizona?
Hey, listen, if you're lucky enough to be the 6,000 people to get a ticket, then you're going to have a great time because it's a great atmosphere in a college arena. And if you can't fill a college arena with 6,000-7,000 people in a professional atmosphere, then you have bigger problems than maybe what you thought. Everything that's happening with the Coyotes is the Coyotes' own fault. It's their front office. It's their decision making. It's their leadership in the GM. It's their leadership in the presidency. It's their leadership in ownership. It's their lack of finding good draft choices, and you know, keeping up with what you have to do to be a professional hockey team. It's unfortunate, and I'm sure that the National Hockey League doesn't like taking care of the Arizona Coyotes again this year. But they're their own worst enemy. And if they can't find a way to get a new building built in that city, which it sounds like it's going better, it sounds like they might have a deal to get a building, that, you know, a lot of these problems stem from 2001, 2002, when they took this building all the way out to Glendale, and it just has steamrolled since. So this team is in the situation it is right now, not so much because of the players, but because of the people behind the players, unfortunately. And I sure hope that they got out of it, because I love the city, I love the team, but that's been a managerial disaster since 2000.
Well, there he is, folks. Jeremy Roenick, always a great guest and a great friend of the Duck Call Show. 513 goals in the National Hockey League in 1,363 games. It was a pleasure to watch, and it's JR, it's always a treat to have you on Duck Calls. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. Thank you very much. And I'll be watching, guys. Have fun.
All right. Thank you. There he is, Jeremy Roenick. Have a good night, JR. All right, folks. If you want to hop in, my last couple minutes here, 714-940-2888. 714-940-2888. Let me get you up to date on the scores. I was just talking about the Avalanche and the Stars. The Avalanche win this one in a shootout 3-2. That's in Dallas. Right now in the first period, at the end of the first period, Senators 1, Sharks 1 in San Jose. At the end of the first, Vegas Golden Knights and Vancouver Canucks are knotted at 0-0. As we mentioned earlier, the Bruins 5, the Lightning 3. The Flames go into Philly. They beat the Flyers 5-2. The Flames are bouncing back a bit here. Well, well, look who comes up again on Duck Calls. Yep, it's the New Jersey Devils, folks. 5-2 tonight at home over the Edmonton Oilers. The Devils have now won 13 straight games. Winnipeg, 4. Carolina, 3. This is in overtime. It's in Winnipeg. Overtime goal by Josh Morrissey. Having a good year there on the Jets blue line. Islanders, 3. Maple Leafs, 2. That's also in overtime. Anthony Beauvillier scores the overtime game winner for the Islanders. Coyotes go into Nashville, and it's the Predators 4, the Coyotes 3 in a shootout. All right, another great episode of Duck Calls. I really, really want to thank JR. He's always very accommodating and a great guest, and hope to have him on again real soon. I will talk to you Wednesday night, the night before Thanksgiving. Let's get out of here, and you get yourself down to Honda Center. We need you. The Rangers are coming into town. We got to play like this, maybe get a power play goal or two. You be there to help cheer on the Ducks as they try to put away the New York Rangers Wednesday night. I will talk to you then. 6:30 is the pregame, 7 o'clock is the game, right here on Duck Stream, which, as you know, is all free. I'll talk to you then.
The hottest tracks from today's Latin artists make for a soundtrack that boosts your mood and gets you moving. And TuneIn, the all-in-one audio app, brings you a curated selection as part of our exclusive Latin hit station. Hear the best from J Balvin, Ozuna, Becky G, Shakira, and so many more every single day. Plus, you can go commercial-free with TuneIn Premium. So heat up your soundtrack now with Latin hits only on TuneIn.
Global news happens fast. Stay plugged into your world with TuneIn, the best app for all things audio. TuneIn brings you top news sources like CNN, Fox News Radio, and MSNBC, plus key financial outlets including Bloomberg and CNBC. The best part? If you upgrade to TuneIn Premium, you'll unlock commercial-free news, bringing you more than 5 hours of bonus news content every day instead of ads. So keep up with the latest headlines and stay in the know every day with TuneIn.
You're listening to Live Ducks Audio, and we're here with a hot tip for sports fans. Check out TuneIn. This all-in-one audio platform brings together all the live sports you want. But what if you want to queue up some shows on your time? TuneIn also brings you the sports podcasts you love on demand. Listen to ESPN's full lineup of pods, great shows from CBS Sports, and so much more, all on TuneIn. Plus, because TuneIn's available on all your devices, you're never without something to listen to. Give it a shot. Check out TuneIn today.
The music you love is the key to a great day. And the best place to hear music for every mood from every genre is TuneIn. This all-in-one audio app brings together top curated music stations, spinning today's hits, top country tracks, the best in Latin hits, and anything else you want to soundtrack your day. Plus, if you upgrade to TuneIn Premium for a low monthly price, you'll keep the good tunes and the good vibes going without any ads. So if you're looking for your next party soundtrack, look no further than TuneIn.
Hey, Ducks fans. Wish it wasn't so hard to eat healthy? With Fresh and Lean, it's never been easier. You get organically sourced meals made by top-notch chefs ready in under 3 minutes. No fluff, no junk, just real food made with real ingredients. Fresh and Lean has served over 25 million meals nationwide, and they're based right here in Anaheim. Go to freshandlean.com to get $20 off your first order plus free shipping. Fresh and Lean. It's better when it's real.
Join the Mighty, a new loyalty program that's free to all fans. It will unite several groups of fans from the longest tenured Orange Alliance members to the newest members of the fan base. Download the app to join in on the fun, including trivia, polls, challenges, and chances to win prizes. Visit AnaheimDucks.com/app.
Thanks for listening to this exclusive presentation of Anaheim Ducks Hockey. Stay tuned for continued coverage on Ducks Stream, the official 24/7 audio network of the Anaheim Ducks, powered by TuneIn.